Welcome to The Marketing Mix, where I talk to the smartest people I know in the world of business-to-business marketing and sales. We find out what makes these folks tick, how they stay ahead of the curve, and what trends they're keeping an eye on right now. I'm your host, Steve Cummins. I've built and run marketing teams at a number of tech companies, from Fortune 500 to fast-growth startups. And I found one of the best places to learn is from talking to people who are out there getting stuff done, people who are in the mix. On The Marketing Mix this week, I'm going to be continuing my discussion on demand generation, following on from the last episode where I talked about the marketing funnel. Before I dive into that, though, there's a couple of things I want to highlight. Firstly, I'll be going back to the interview format for the next couple of episodes, starting with Joan McHugh next week, who is the CMO of the DAC Group. And we'll be talking about a recent branding project she's worked on, in particular, how they've used market research to inform their decisions. I also want to mention a really interesting discussion I took part in last week around generative AI and its use to build marketing personas. It was organized by the San Francisco chapter of the AMA. It's led by Frederick Worrell of UC Berkeley. And Frederick had gone through this really interesting process of using two different AI bots, so ChatGPT and Bard, to help him write marketing personas for a particular project. And he used the same prompts on both, and then he shared the results of them side by side. And there was a couple of things that it really flagged up for me. One is there was a very clear difference in the style of the output. So you could see how over time, as more of these models come out, there'll be some personal preference into it as to which one you may want to use for particular tasks. The other was, even though he used the same prompts for both, they came out with different answers. I would say both of those answers were valid, but they were both different and they would lead you and your marketing project in a very different direction. It highlighted the fact that, you know, these models, they're trained on different data sets, they're trained in different ways, they are gonna provide different outputs. So there is no, just as in real life, if we're doing this ourselves with our own brain power, there is no single perfect answer from these AI models. And so it just reinforces this idea of the value is going to be understanding how to interact and how to work with these models. Anyway, if you want to know more, I'm going to put a link in the show notes to an article that Frederick put out, and I think it's worth checking out. Today, I really wanted to continue some thoughts on the demand generation process. So in the last episode, I talked about the marketing funnel, how it can be used, some of the pros and cons. And one of the things I talked about briefly was MQLs and SQLs, so marketing qualified lead and sales qualified lead. And this week, I want to dig into those in more detail. So what is an MQL and SQL? It's an approach that is often used once you've established the marketing funnel. It's how you start to move people through the funnel and how you build the marketing processes and the sales processes around it. I think there's a couple of situations where it is particularly useful. The first is for startups and growing companies when they're starting to separate their marketing efforts. So early days, typically marketing is just a function reporting into sales, or actually in a lot of cases, it's something that the sales team do as part of their overall duties. And then as you start to grow and you start to get some success, you hire dedicated marketers, maybe they no longer report into sales. And so now you have effectively a gap between sales and marketing. And so you need some kind of a process or a model to bridge that gap. The other time that I think it's really effective, and it's happened to me when I've come into companies a number of times where there is a lot of friction between sales and marketing. I mean, I've even seen it where there is effectively zero communication between marketing and sales. So in either of those cases, bringing in this concept of marketing qualified leads and sales qualified leads, it's a great way to improve those relationships, to build those bridges, to fill that gap between sales and marketing. Couple of caveats before we dive into it. As with many of these things, there is not one exact, completely agreed upon, completely accepted definitional version of this. So I'm going to talk through the approach that I take, but understand that, you know, people will use it slightly differently, and I'll try and highlight some of those as we go through. The other thing is to look at what type of organization is using this. So most of the things you will see written about MQL, SQL, is really intended for enterprise organizations that have a large sales team, a large marketing team, maybe you have dedicated SDRs and BDRs or sales development reps, business development reps. Maybe you have a marketing operations or a RevOps team. If you get to that size, there's two considerations. One is you can afford to invest time and resources in the tools and putting the processes and the automation in place. The second is when you get to that size, you actually need the automation to be able to enable it to scale. So both of those are valid in that situation. My focus is working with startups and growth businesses, though, so the reality there is very different. Not only do you have to rely on sort of the human interaction, but you really want to be building and encouraging that human interaction, and you don't want automation to get in the way. At these types of companies, the marketing folks know the sales folks. Ideally, they're sitting in the same room if you have a physical office. And so that human interaction is a feature, not a bug in the process. Again, a lot of the stuff you'll read is talking about the automation of it. What I want to focus here on is the process and the reasons behind it. Let's talk about how MQLs and SQLs impact the funnel. So if you remember from the last episode, I defined the five states of the marketing funnel as awareness, interest, consideration, conversion, and loyalty. The idea being at the awareness phase, you're trying to talk to a very broad group of prospects, basically anybody who may one day be interested in your product or service. You have a percentage of those that become more interested in your product. Then they start to consider buying it, which means you are trying to get put on the short list for them to say, okay, this company is one of the two or three that I'm going to seriously consider. And then you work with the sales team to convert them into customers. And then once they're customers, you spend time trying to increase that attachment to your brand, make them loyal customers, and get them to refer. So those are the five stages of the funnel. Now let's look at how these qualified leads work within those. So at the awareness phase, all you have at the awareness phase is people who have a general interest in the type of thing you sell. So these are prospects, or actually some companies even call them suspects, because you suspect that one day they could become a customer. Then you move into the interest phase. So now you have people who are starting to pay more attention. From a marketing perspective, they are looking to be educated. So they are probably watching videos, reading blogs, probably on your newsletter. As they're getting towards the end of that interest phase and getting close to consideration, that is when we would typically refer to them as a marketing qualified lead. And that means that they have done enough things or the right type of things that make you think, okay, these people are seriously interested and are probably getting close to the point where we would want them to interact with our sales team. What is those kind of activity? Well, it depends on who you are, but it could certainly be attending a webinar or some kind of an event that talks significantly about your product, not just about the industry or the problem you're trying to solve. Could be somebody who watches a demo video. The people that are doing the kind of things that really show that they are seriously interested, visiting the pricing page for a lot of companies, particularly self-service online software companies, visiting the pricing page can be big. So at that point, a marketing qualified lead is saying, we as marketers believe that this person is seriously interested, and we think it is worth the sales team now taking a closer look at this and deciding if this person is ready to enter the sales cycle. Somehow, depending on our internal systems, we flag this up or hand this over to somebody in the sales team and say, yeah, we think this person is ready to buy. A lot of people think of this as the handover point from marketing to sales. I don't particularly like that because it suggests that marketing steps away at that point, and that's not really true. It's still a side-by-side process, but sales takes the primary role at this point, let's say. And so when sales gets an MQL, their role is to decide if it becomes a sales qualified lead or an SQL. And different companies, different sales teams have various ways of doing this. A common one is called BANT, which is budget, authority, need, and timeline. So this idea of they're looking at this particular prospect, maybe talking to them, having a discovery call, and trying to work out, do they have money to spend on your product or service? Are they authorized or are they involved in the process to make that decision? Is there a definite need? Is there a problem that they are currently trying to solve? And are they looking for a solution within a reasonable timeline, which will depend on the company, but you know, let's say 3 to 6 months. And if the salesperson takes that MQL, does their research, does a discovery call, and they decide, yes, there's enough going on here, they will turn it into a sales qualified lead. So they effectively accept that lead from marketing. Now, as a marketing team, it's very easy, very tempting to focus on the number of MQLs as the metric. And that is important because it talks about how good you are at getting people in through the door. But I always look, probably more importantly, at the conversion rate from MQL to SQL. Now, if you are converting a high percentage of your MQLs to SQLs, that may mean that actually you're holding on to the leads too long before you hand them over to sales, which means some will leak out of the funnel and you'll lose them. If it's too low, it means you're going to get a lot of frustration. Salespeople are just going to get fed up with qualifying these bad leads, that they would say. So you got to find the right number in between. It depends on your particular situation, on your industry. There is a number out there that says on average, I think this came from Salesforce, on average 13% of MQLs convert into SQLs. Don't use that as a specific number because you've really got to look at your own data and look at trends and what have you. But you know, at least gives you an idea of where that number could be. The most important thing here is getting marketing and sales together to agree on a definition of what is an MQL, what is an SQL, so that they both understand the qualification process and at what point it crosses that line. And then ideally, you know, some kind of a SLA, a service level agreement, as to how quickly sales will follow up on that MQL and feed the information back. The key thing here is communication, right? If sales and marketing aren't talking to each other, you know, you hear two common refrains. Sales complain that marketing, all they do is generate crap quality leads and send them to me and waste my time. And or you'll hear marketing saying, well, I create all these great leads and send them over to sales and they're not good enough to close it. They don't understand how to sell. I've heard both of those. The reality very rarely is true in either case. It's probably about this lack of alignment between the two. I'm obviously a believer in MQL, SQL in the situations I talked about before. But why do we really do this? Well, you know, the first thing is that you understand what is a good lead and sales and marketing align, so it helps with that communication. But it also helps, from a marketing perspective, it helps you focus your activity and your energy on the types of things that you know drive positive activity in the funnel. So the things that generate MQLs, the things that keep your conversion rate from MQL, SQL in a positive mindset. I think you can also use it. It gives you sort of an early warning on shifts in the market, gives you an idea of what the competitors are up against as well. And I think it's important for growing companies because this is one of the first processes that you put in place. So in some ways, this is saying, hey, I'm now taking marketing seriously and I'm ensuring that we're building the right competencies in with marketing and we're ensuring that we're supporting sales correctly. So it's a lot of good reasons for doing it. As with everything else, there's certain pitfalls. One that annoys me constantly is this idea of lead scoring. And you'll hear a lot about this in marketing circles. The idea being that you can attach a point score to everything that a prospect does. So if they visit a particular page on a website, you get a point. If they download an ebook, you get 3 points. If they attend a webinar, you get 5 points, and so on and so on. And if they hit this magic number, whatever you choose it to be, let's say they hit a score of 25 points in 3 months, then you automatically say they are a marketing qualified lead. I'm sending it over to sales. Now, it sounds lovely. A couple of problems with it. One is I think particularly for small marketing teams without much data, it's very difficult to know what are the activities that truly contribute to moving somebody through the funnel. And so you're really guessing. I also see it way overcomplicated where people give different point scores to different pages on the website, and it can become a job in itself just to manage the lead scoring process. The other part of it is you are removing a lot of that communication between sales and marketing, because it becomes, if it's not automated, it at least becomes rote of, oh, they hit 25, let me send it over to sales without really thinking about it. So I think it leads you down a dangerous path. One of the reasons this gets pushed a lot is from the CRM companies, the CRM software, because it's very easy to automate it this way. And that's their goal in life, is to automate processes. And of course, once you've put all that automation in, it's very difficult for you to then transfer to another CRM. So it's a good retention approach from them. So there are upsides to lead scoring. I'm not saying it's all bad, but you have to go into it with your eyes open. And for the stage of a company that we're talking about, I just think it takes you in the wrong direction. The other area that gets talked about in this general discussion is this idea of marketing attribution. So this is a claim that we can identify what were the important things that happened in the customer journey that got them to decide to buy. And the theory is you can determine the importance of attending a particular webinar, downloading a particular piece of information, serving ads, et cetera, et cetera. Downside to this is it's very data intensive, and most people don't have that level of data. Stuff inevitably gets missed. Like, it's very difficult. As an example, if you're doing physical advertising, billboards, how do you ever put that into an attribution model? If you spend a lot of money sponsoring a conference, do you even know somebody was at that conference? So it's not perfect. And my bigger concern with it is marketing teams will spend way too much time worrying about attribution, fine-tuning the model, when that time and resource could be spent on actually marketing. So not a big fan of either lead scoring or attribution at this stage in a company's journey. It's a different argument if you're talking about enterprise organizations. But both of those, I think, take us in the wrong direction. Just to sum up, we've talked about the funnel. MQLs and SQLs is a way of managing and measuring that journey through the funnel. And it's extremely useful to improve the communication between sales and marketing and to start building the marketing processes. So I'm a big fan of it. It takes some time. It takes some heavy lifting up front. But I really think it's a valuable way to start building some momentum behind marketing. I hope you found that useful. As I said before, the next couple of episodes are going to go back to the interview format, but I'll be running these sort of explainer discussions every so often between the interviews. So if there's a particular subject that you would like me to cover, drop me a note, and otherwise I'll see you on the next Marketing Mix.
Thanks for listening to the Marketing Mix. If you have suggestions or would like to be a guest on the show, visit our website at themarketingmixpodcast.com. In my consulting practice, I help founder-led companies and small businesses punch above their weight, providing the marketing strategy and know-how needed to take your company to the next level. More details are at solentstrategies.com. See you next time on The Marketing Mix.